Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's what, if I'm a Titans fan, that's the one thing, right? I could tell myself, well, wow, I got up on Baltimore, got them out of sorts.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to do the same thing to KC, make them trail.
Do it again.
And we saw it didn't matter at all for KC.
No.
You get down 24-0 to the Texans, and it looks like Deshaun and those guys are going to roll, and KC comes storming back. So where it did work against a Baltimore team, wasn't used to coming back. KC doesn't give a damn.
No.
Brad, KC, you know, whether you're up, whether you're down, they will come back to beat you. So it's a much, much different animal. Yet, that said, they're a defense that's much more susceptible, has been much more susceptible this season against the run. And so you've got that part, that dynamic as well.
And I think Bill O'Brien got that in the KC game, because that's why he was so pissed off when they didn't get that fourth touchdown. That's why when they went for that field goal and they only got to 24.
A lot of people were trying to, you know, hindsight 2020, a lot of people trying to say that was the game. You still got to win that thing.
You need points.
Look, at that point, you're up 24-0. He got points. I mean, we can sit here and say, you know, yeah, if you'd gotten four more in that instance, you're going to win the game. But come on, what you've got to be able to do is stop the Chiefs from scoring the next 51 points at that point. I mean, your defense has got to step up. You can't allow Watt's back. The defense is looking good early on. Special teams really, really hurt the Chiefs early on.
Yeah.
But Watt's back. Your defense is there. There's no excuse to have KC going off like it did. So I don't see how you could blame the entire loss on one play where you don't go for it on fourth down and instead kick a field goal. Well, we're talking about a 4-point difference. You got to be able to stop somebody if you're going to win that game.
Well, and I think Casey's just
a
better team. They were clearly the better team. They were going to win that football game, and that's why Bill O'Brien in that moment got frustrated when they didn't get it at the line of scrimmage, and they were going to have a delay a game if they didn't call a timeout. They called timeout. They kicked the field goal. Like, there's no guarantees you're going to get seven there, even if you get the yard. My point is, I think that was always the way that was going to go. I think it's different when you look at Lamar Jackson's performance against the Titans, because if you're the Titans, you're like, man, we got to replicate what we just did against KC.
Their best defense may just be keeping Derrick Henry on the field.
That's it.
In time of possession.
Run the ball.
Literally keeping the ball out of Mahomes' hands.
That's
because,
it.
I don't know what else you do. Mm-mm. You're supposed to win. You know, yes, I don't blame Bill O'Brien for kicking that field goal. That said, you get up 24-0. I don't care who the quarterback is on the other side. I don't care how good that offense is. You're supposed to win that game up 24-0. That's on you just as much as it is on those players. You're supposed to hold on to that lead. And that said, you know, with the way they came back, again, if you're a Titans fan, look, some of it feels like gravy right now. Some of it feels like icing on the cake. Now, I know
you
know, when you get one game away from the Super Bowl, you start telling yourself, hey, maybe we should make it. That said, you know, it's how do you not feel like this is a free swing if you're the Titans? Look, you're big underdog, 7.5-point underdog.
Yep.
At least the last I looked, against the Chiefs this weekend. Nobody's expecting you to get in. All the pressure's off, and it's on KC. If you're the Titans, you just stay loose, keep playing the way you're playing, and keep letting that offensive line blow folks off the ball.
Absolutely.
My gosh, they're playing the right kind of football this time of year. We'll talk more about it. We got to do the rundown when we get back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett, WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
To run a business, communication is the key. Your key to communication? Integrated Communications and iLink. With a touch of a button, you can push to talk to individuals or large groups with nationwide LTE coverage. iLink offers real-time GPS. Manage, locate, and communicate with your team using their durable portables or mobile-mounted units using PC Dispatch software. For more information and a free demo, call Integrated Communications today at 901-366-4412 or visit iciwireless.com.
This is Gary Parrish. The Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar is a great place right next to the University of Memphis campus on the Highland Strip. And if you have an event, a birthday party, a wedding party, a graduation party, any kind of party, book some space at the Bluff. You can rent out any part of the Bluff, the front to the back to the mezzanine, and the place is big enough to accommodate 600 people. They can cater the event for you, or you can provide your own catering. Terrific rates, and you can trust that someone on staff is going to be on site to make sure your event is perfect. TheBluffMemphis.com and click the Host Your Event tab to get it booked today. TheBluffMemphis.com.
you're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. Indeed will also give you this sticky frog, which will suddenly leap and stick to the face of the perfect hire. Okay, there's no sticky frog. But skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers 3 times more hires than any other job site. Post your next job at Indeed.com/hire and try skills tests for free. Terms and conditions apply.
And now a message from Puffs Plus Lotion Tissues. Coughing and sneezing aren't the season's worst flaw. It's the ordinary tissues that can leave noses raw. With each little wipe, they can leave noses red. So do your sniffer a favor. Buy Puffs Plus Lotion instead. Puffs have lotion to soothe and are soft on your nose. You'll feel the difference with each of your blows, especially during cold and flu season. A nose in need deserves Puffs Indeed.
At AT&T, we believe that access to affordable home internet brings you incredible opportunities. You can enjoy the power to explore a digital world of possibilities and connect with family, friends, and the things that matter most. That's why there's access from AT&T. If a member of your household is a SNAP participant, you may qualify for home internet at a discounted rate of $10 a month or less. No commitment, no deposit, no installation fee. Plus, get an in-home Wi-Fi gateway included at no extra cost. Call 1-855-220-5211 or visit att.com/access now to learn more.
SNAP refers to the Federal Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Pricing excludes taxes and fees. Includes 1 terabyte of data per month. Data overage charges apply. For details about data allowance, go to att.com/internet-usage. Geographic and service restrictions apply.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis's sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Watch me make a bow, one by one. Count my cards, watch them fall.
Cash word for the noon hour, by the way. We're giving away money here is DARE, D-A-R-E. Text the word DARE, D-A-R-E to 72881. DARE is the code word for the 12 noon hour. And thank you to Jason for reminding me. We got to give away cash. DARE is the code word here for another 54 minutes. Have up until 1 o'clock to text DARE to 72881. And if you want to win another cash code word coming up at 1 o'clock here on the Jason and John Show. Baby.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
That's just me screaming Derrick Henry's name because he's been that good. Was first running back run for over 180. I know in back-to-back games. I just had somebody tweet at me, is it really three straight? It's three straight.
Yeah, three of them. Boom, boom, boom.
The first running back, Scotty Oates, thank you for the tweet. King Henry, the first running back to go three straight. It's not just two straight in the playoffs. He's now done this three straight games. He's the first to do that in NFL history. He is a massive beast running that ball right now that you do not want to tackle.
As an aside, just as a human, looking at him as a just a specimen of a physical running back, it is crazy to look at those gigantic pictures next to other running backs.
It's like the point you make next to Mark Ingram.
The Ingram picture is the one I was thinking at midfield or something.
And
he looks like he could eat Mark Ingram.
Ingram's a big dude when you see him by himself.
Yes.
Then you see him next to Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
And it's not even close. I mean, it looks like a battering ram next to one of those little miniature baseball baseball bats that you get down. And,
yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
there's no comparison. We'll start right there. Derrick Henry was phenomenal, rushed for 195 yards, didn't even have to run for a touchdown. And the Titans' 28-12 win over the Ravens, advancing them to the AFC title game. I mentioned this stat earlier. I want to clean it up because I got the year, and I thought it was right. Mm-hmm. They're trying to be the first 6 seed to get to the big game, to the Super Bowl, since Green Bay did it in 2010. Did have the year right, and the Packers that year won it all. Again, this is a Titans team that's 9-7, finished the regular season 9-7, but one that's been red hot. Since they did what? Since they put Ryan Tannehill under center. He's not even doing this in the playoffs. It's true. Derrick Henry's doing it. The threat, though, of having a Ryan Tannehill, I think a guy who, look, just knows what he's doing. That was Marcus's problem. He's just so indecisive.
Yes.
That was half of the battle. They're now 9-3 with Tannehill as the starter. As I said, I think this is crazy. He's only thrown the ball 29 times in the two playoff wins. They've relied so much on Henry. Mike Tannenbaum kind of told us this was going to happen, didn't he, Brett?
Yep.
He
called the shot.
Early in the season, and I'll tell you what, me and John Martin, I'll be real honest here, we rolled our eyes at Tannenbaum, the former Dolphins exec, front office guy, who obviously had Tannehill down in Miami, told us, basically, that the Titans needed to do this. Here's the audio.
This
from
is
that.
In July.
This
now.
Is back in July before the season started. Here's the audio when we were asking him about the quarterback situation in Tennessee.
Front office insider for ESPN. I want to go through a couple quarterbacks who have what I would call prove it years in the NFL. Marcus Mariota here in Tennessee is such an interesting case because when he's on the field, you know, they tend to win games. He's a leader. He does the intangible stuff. You can see it. I mean, he basically won the playoff game for them a couple years ago single-handedly. But that's the issue. He's not on the field as much as you would like, and we see what the market is for quarterbacks. That number is getting pretty ridiculous. So if you are the Titans, Mike, how do you approach these negotiations? Because do you reset and say, you know what, we don't feel like we can pay that kind of money for a quarterback we don't know is going to be on the field? How do you look at it?
Yeah, I don't pay him. I think Ryan Tannehill is the better quarterback. I knew Ryan, you know, from my days in Miami, and I think Mario is a good quarterback, but when healthy, I think Tannehill is the better player, and I wouldn't be surprised, in my opinion, if at some point this year Tannehill beats him out.
Interesting.
Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
9-3 as the starter since they made the move. And you could argue if they'd done it earlier, right, maybe they're not sitting there at 9-7 for the season. That said, you know, he's 15 of 29 for 100, been pretty pedestrian in these playoffs, but he's getting it done when he needs to. 15 of 29 for 160 yards, 3 touchdowns, and had the rushing touchdown, obviously. Look, they haven't needed Ryan Tannehill to go out and win them games, but that was the point. They had a great defense. They had an absolute battering ram at running back. If they just had a quarterback who would go out there, right, that's why Titans fans were so frustrated with Mariota. It's like he does everything right? You just want him to go out and show that he's the guy. And yet here he was in a contract year, still trying to figure out and look to be questioning himself of whether he was the guy. You got a sure-headed quarterback in Ryan Tannehill, and now the Titans have got a decision on, you know, whether you keep this guy or not.
I wonder if these college offenses screw these dudes up, because Mariota, in my opinion, always looked like sort of the former Oregon quarterback who's a running quarterback. He was constantly getting banged up. Like, every time he was trying to bail out, he was running, getting hit in the head.
Said he would struggle with NFL offenses.
With
as indecisive as he was this far along in his career, maybe that was the point.
It's the same draft class as Jameis Winston.
You got to be a quick processor, you know. Yeah, but that's the thing about the NFL. You can't drop back there and you're looking at you got to get that thing out.
Throw the ball.
That was his issue all the way up until this season.
That's it.
He was still doing it to start the year this year. Going back to Tannehill, he's been phenomenal for him. They have not lost games with him. 9-3 now, as we said. Mm-hmm. And the Titans are every bit of a story here in Tennessee. 7.5-point underdogs, at least the early line that I saw against the Chiefs. That's going to be the early game on Sunday. 6-seed Titans trying to knock off the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl. I never would have predicted it, even seeing them play this well. It's pretty phenomenal what they've done.
I saw real quick before we get to story number two, the parlay. If you would have taken a parlay on Titans and for the Titans to win those two games, or the Titans to win this weekend, and then it was one of the other games, I forget. It was like bet $100, get a couple thousand bucks, because it was just so unpredictable.
Well, nobody thought Derrick Henry could do this again. Yeah. How many times, if you know that's what you've got to stop, why can't you get it done? And you are a high-level NFL defense. The last two have not been able to do it. And I'm telling you, Titans fans got to feel good. Casey Edmund is good against the run this year. That said, that's a defense that's playing better than it did in the regular season.
Next story.
All right, national championship is tonight, and I will go through this. It's a lot, because you've got two big teams, two big brands. Dabo has a lot on the line. I'll take you through some of it. LSU and Clemson tonight. It's on 92.9 ESPN here tonight. It's the first time top-ranked team could win the title in a college football playoff era in the new era. This is with the playoff. Clemson trying to become the first team to win 30 games over a two-season span in major college football. Joe Burrow completing 77% of his passes. Of course, the reigning Heisman, taking on last year's Heisman Trophy winner. So two great quarterbacks, two great running.
Something's got to give.
There's a lot going on here, and great matchups on the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball. So today, to set the scene here, LSU has released a hype video, and these hype videos have progressively gotten better and better as the time has gone on, and now these colleges, they all have their production crew. Here, this one featuring Miami's Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
Gosh.
So they've recruited Dwayne Johnson to do the voiceover for this LSU football hype video that they released
for
today.
A dollar.
And I thought about John Martin
surely
not being here today.
They didn't pay him for this. He may have charged them, though, knowing the Rock.
Oh, I bet it was expensive for them to get this thing.
Surely they got it free. Just want some more notoriety.
It works for radio because there's enough VO to go through the voice, so I'll play it for you here.
John will love this. Let me hear it.
Think of all that time, every sprint in the summer, every wait in the winter, all those hours no one else saw. Think of every sacrifice.
I had the wrong one. Let me go to the right one with Dwayne on it.
It sounds just like one of his movie trailers.
Was it?
I was wondering if what the heck. This sounds as theatrical as anything he does.
I guess that's him.
Okay, No. That's not that. That couldn't have been.
LSU football. Let me make sure I get the right one. I'm sorry, I'm doing two.
Oh, I got it. Yeah. Well, here's the point. This is what I'm. Trevor Lawrence is 25-0 as a starter. You can go. Joe Burrow has been the king this year. He's won everything. He's the Heisman Trophy winner. And look, he would tell you that he saw this back in spring ball,
right? Yeah.
And that it's all coming to pass. But something's got to give tonight. Joe Burrow's been unstoppable. Trevor Lawrence been unstoppable as a starter, 25-0. Something's got to give. Let's hear the hype.
Here is the Dwayne one.
The closer I get to the top.
Yes.
The more I think about rock bottom. The closer I get to the finish line, the more I think about where I started. I remember the past, and it anchors me to the present. I remember dark days and hungry nights. I remember being told I wasn't good enough and wondering if it was true. I remember having nothing, giving everything, and yet still falling short. Rock bottom transformed me, fortified me. It made me who I am. Made me promise myself to never go back and to never forget. I remember every doubt. That's why I believe. I remember every failure. That's why I succeed. I remember every defeat. That's why I win. I remember rock bottom. That's why I know where I'm going. So let's go.
Let's go. And that is it, LSU. Let's go. Hey, I remember
that is so
rock
overcooked
bottom.
And overdone by Mr. Intensity.
I'm on his side
Dwayne
now.
Johnson.
I'm going LSU, baby.
That fool needs to do one for Manny Diaz in his own school.
Damn, this guy's from Miami.
He gave him everything like he went to LSU.
This guy said, "I remember rock bottom," and now he's got "Let's go" for LSU.
I don't understand that. I don't get it. Like, where's the school pride? That's what? Just the pride. I'll do anything for a dollar. Surely he did that for free.
Because
he wants to be a part of the big championship.
This dude getting paid. I think that voiceover cost a lot of money to get Dwayne the Rock Johnson to get his butt in there.
There's something because here's the deal. If Manny Diaz ever gets a turn around, or Miami period ever gets a turn around, they want to go to a national championship game and turn to you to do the hype video. How are you going to beat that right there? You just gave them everything you had, and you did it for LSU. At some point, you got to do it. You got to represent the home team. Home team for you is Miami.
If I was at the University of Cincinnati and we were in the national championship game and I came to Jason Smith and I said, "Jason, I've got a proposition for you. I realize you are a proud Memphis grad, but I want your voice for the Cincinnati championship video so that we can get pumped. And I've got how much money I got. I got $25,000, and I'm going to give it to you for this two-minute voiceover for the University of Cincinnati. Do you do it?
Well, you're going to buy it. You already bought me. See, I don't have rock money. So what'd you, how much did you just get?
$25,000? I think I hit 25 is what I said.
Come on, brother. I'm coming from a land of efficiency and trying to come. Are you kidding
Ten
me?
$10,000.
You did. No.
No, no.
It's not enough
you got
money.
It. You do have a standard.
I have a standard, okay. And Cincinnati better get that number up if they want me to come calling as a University of Memphis graduate. No. Are you for real? They paid the Rock for that?
I don't think he. I don't
surely,
know.
Surely
I,
not. Been, surely he had time on his hands
I imagine,
to do that
he
for free.
Do, Rock if don't he do did that for free.
If he just did that for a simple dollar, like, he doesn't need it.
Oh, I'm That's getting some point. Information here. A couple of people have suggested. I didn't realize this. Coach O was on staff at Miami when The Rock was there. I didn't know that.
So, see? So he didn't take a dime for this, and he's doing a favor for Coach O. That's what
there
he's
it
doing.
Is.
And, I don't think you can get much hyper than that one. Now, what he's going to have a problem with, again, is if his alma mater ever makes it and yep. they ask him to do one, you're not going to be able to top it. But, hey, that's the kicks of being the Rock.
Next story.
Memphis. University of Memphis basketball Tigers, because there's a plenty to talk about. Mm-hmm. You could be talking about Grizzly, could be talking about anything. Brad gave you the little bit of breaking news earlier. Drops down just one spot. To number 22
yep.
After losing two straight and then ending that, and that included a loss, obviously, to a ranked Wichita State team, but ending that over the weekend with a win over South Florida. Now, if they lose that South Florida game of the weekend, we'll talk about this a little bit more with John Martin after the Blake, but if they lose that game, yep. They are out of the top 25. So, again, it saves you that. You know, it saves you that embarrassment. And I'm going to be real honest with you. You know, right now and again, after the loss to Georgia, I realize it's different. It's just your second loss of the season then. You can say, hey, you know, people now are saying this Tennessee mm-hmm. win wasn't good. They're saying the NC State. I could get bristling up a little bit, right, for that 12 spot drop.
Sure.
And saying this is disrespect if you're Penny Hardaway. Right? Number one, that plays with your players. Right? So it's mm-hmm. From a strategic standpoint, I get the sort of playing the disrespect. But right now, again, with just barely scraping by against South Florida, with the way you're still trying to figure out things offensively, this is about what you are. You know,
a bottom in terms of
the top 25, bottom area of the top 25, still trying to figure it out. And frankly, for us to expect more at this point,
yeah.
for a team that lost as much as this one did, I think it would be unfair. Now, Penny, right. I think Penny got caught up in it, too.
Sure.
They weren't losing, even though there were – you know, they're shooting less than 40% up at Tennessee. They're getting they're doing the same thing. It's Ole Miss, Brad. They're getting those wins.
Sure.
And I think he starts to buy into, yep. you know, we're sort of this finished product, right? And this is disrespect to have this kind of drop. But you can tell, and you could do it again against South Florida, you could tell this team's still trying to figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, they're still working on starting lineups right now, still trying to figure out what the best thing is there for them. Seem to be on the way to that, but they are not a finished product. And right now at about 22 in the AP poll where they are, that's about where they should be. I think that's pretty fair. And until this team gets it figured out, and listen, you've got room to do that. Over the next seven games, you're going to be favored. You're favored by KenPom to win them all. You've got room to sort of get that figured out. That said, Cincinnati, even in a down year, is going to represent a step up from what you faced this weekend against South Florida.
Do you think Penny's in a tough spot? Because before Wiseman left, you know, you're peddling the we want all the smoke angle. I mean, it seems
well,
like
you did. You wanted all the smoke when you had James. Yeah. Ain't no doubt about it. And I would have wanted all the smoke, too, when I got James and a grown-ass Precious Achiuwa in college. And I don't want to do that, sit here and wonder what if.
Right.
But look at where Precious is now.
Oh,
it absolutely would have been everything you all dreamed it would be with those two guys around the basket. I don't want to get caught up in this because then it gets into, man, this decision on James. And I've even heard some people are real comfortable right now. Hey, he quit on the team and you want to throw all
there's
the
a lot of that.
Look,
a lot of that.
Look. Again, I'll go back to it. The difference here isn't you had the NCAA involved. And that kid was told that the NCAA is picking on you in Memphis,
right?
If that happens to Zion, right? If that and Lord knows some of us, you know,
God forbid something happened to Duke.
That Duke did something to get right. it. But if that happens to Zion, maybe those voices in his ear about, hey, come on now, come on play, come on pro ball now. Why this back and forth with the NCAA for you when you can have your mm-hmm. maybe that argument a separate situation with James. And I think that's why most fans, right? And who knows where. If you put the truth serum in those teammates, what they would ultimately tell you. You know, they say the right things off the air, that's their guy.
Right.
You know, their social media is still going back and forth, all that, who knows. But that said, I think that's why most folks aren't sitting around here crying about James Wiseman or blaming him, or I could see it in a year or two, you're welcoming him back. You know, when he's playing for some other team and he's come and you're giving him a standing ovation. This one's different in the sense that, you know, you those arguments that, hey, kid, you're getting picked on, why allow, and I'm talking the money people, this is what I imagine them saying to James, is, why allow the NCAA keep making money off your back, right? You go, why do that when you can have the money right now? Why are you, and that, again, becomes a stronger and stronger argument when you're away from the team, right? When the team's up in Knoxville and you're not around, you start to listen to that more and more. I can't hold it against the kid when I think that the NCAA, in its own way, yes, selectively picked on Memphis in this case and used a high school case, basically, against Penny Hardaway here to take off, if not the best player in college basketball, one of the best players in college basketball to get him off the floor. You really did yourself wrong, NCAA, because you won't have him in the postseason.
Yeah.
You know, a lot in a year where there are not a lot of stars in college basketball, that's one off the list because of the selective, you know, process of making examples out of one program and not others. I don't want to hear this stuff that it's all coming for the rest of these guys. Show me when it comes for these big brands, right? Oh, it's coming. You know, they got a letter. The allegations are coming. Please. Like, show me when they're getting treated the way Memphis is. It's not right, and I think most people understand that's why they don't hold it against James Wiseman. Memphis got screwed by the NCAA on this one. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
We'll talk to about that with John Martin. We'll also talk to him about the 68-64 Tigers when he was there down in Tampa. He's on his way back now. We'll talk to him after the break. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Nobody else has the Jeff Calkins Show. Nobody else has the Jason and John Show.
Well, hello there.
John.
Nobody else has Giannotto and Jeffrey. Nobody else has the Gary Parrish Show.
Be careful. Be kind. Be good. Rep your hood.
And nobody else has Rewind on their app, like radio.com and 92.9. Nobody else is rocking ESPN. Nobody but us.
John
92.9 FM ESPN Memphis.
The new extra cheesy Alfredo pizza from Papa John's has extra cheese on another three cheese blend, on Alfredo sauce, on garlic parmesan crust, which is now on your mind and on its way to being your new favorite thing, on account of all that cheese and Alfredo that you heard about on the radio. Get a new extra cheesy Alfredo pizza with garlic parmesan crust for just $10. Better ingredients, better pizza. Papa John's. Not valid with discounts, fees and taxes extra. Prices may vary.
I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. I am often asked, what is the value of my case? The answer, of course, depends on your injuries, liability, and the damages to you financially. And it also very much depends on the law firm you hire to represent you. Many times, firms are hired without much thought or research. All firms are not the same, not even close. I know of firms and lawyers who haven't tried a case in years, maybe never. The insurance company knows who they are, too. Some lawyers need the money more than you do. Go to ForThePeople.com and look at our verdicts in court. Here you will see injuries just like yours. You will see what the insurance company offered and, more importantly, what a jury decided. You will have an idea what your case may be worth in our hands. And just because you've already hired a lawyer doesn't mean you can't fire them before it's too late. For over 30 years, Morgan & Morgan has been here at your time of need. On your cell, dial pound law. Pound law, that's all.
Free background information available upon request.
It is moving season, so make sure you call my friends at Black Tie Moving for all your moving needs. If you're thinking about relocating, you're coming out of Tampa with me, where I'm at right now, or you're moving across town in Memphis, doesn't matter. Give them a call, 316-6196, 316-6196, because they have changed moving in the city of Memphis. Because when you're moving, you're not just moving things. You're moving pieces of your life that are valuable. Black Tie understands that. I went with them 2.5 years ago when I moved into my home, and I'm glad I did. It was one of the best decisions I made. Obviously, taking out, you know, the stress of having to do things yourself, but they're on time, they're pros, everything went where it was supposed to go, nothing got scratched up or broken, and that's what you want when you're going with a moving team. So make that team Black Tie Moving, 316-6196. Going to start booking up fast because moving season is always here. Black Tie can take the chore of moving your things out of your hands, make it that much easier for you. Black Tie Moving, changing moving in the city of Memphis. Call today.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available at the physician
determines if prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. That's right, free. Zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Jason and John Guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis's sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
125, we'll talk to Jason Fitz, ESPN Radio. We'll talk about tonight's national championship game. It should be a good one, a fantastic one. But before we do that, I just want to introduce to y'all my co-host. If anybody got an issue with it, they can come see me at the studio. Big Truss, Tiny Home, Titans hater, John Martin joins us now. Brother, how are you?
Big Truss, Tiny Home. I kind of like that.
Do you?
Yeah, I kind of like what you did there. Anyway, what's going on, man? Anything happened this weekend? You know, I have been I know you probably have a
I've been throwing you under the bus.
About. I know.
I've been
maybe everybody in the city's waiting on it. But have you been following this story with the Royals? Like the Queen put out a statement today. They're going to split time between England and Canada. It sounds like. Where do you think they'll move in Canada? Are you thinking like Vancouver or Alberta? You know, maybe Ottawa. Like that's kind of low key. It's cold, but I'm just trying to go through maybe some of the variations, some of the different situations.
You're a damn fool. You think you're going to come on here and get me off subject and off topic, John, and away from these you and have an answer for these Titans? I don't care about the Royals today. Love Meghan Markle. She's cute. Right,
and
she's mixed like me, John. Right, so I'm supposed to care, right?
Yes.
But I would much rather hear you talk about these Tennessee Titans, a team you have doubted all year. What do you think? We'll get to South Florida and Memphis, brother. I want to know what you think about the Titans' chances.
No, I mean do you think they left the England because there was a rift between he and the Duke?
Man, how you feeling about these Titans, big hater?
Like the. The mental health aspect is important. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to get away from the British tabloids.
You really going to do this?
You're
in Tampa. You're not even working today. What, you got a nice little, what, maybe a 20-minute phone hit with me, right? So you told me Tampa's 70 and sunny or 80 and sunny, whatever it is. So you've basically been, like, on vacation. So you're not doing and this is what you're going to give me? Try to get me off subject? No, man. You're going to answer the question for these. At one, what we're going to do is have these folks say what they would have said to you today if you'd shown up to work.
Good.
Right? And then we're going to play it for you tomorrow.
Well, it worked out.
Uh-huh.
It worked out really well for me. I'm really glad the Tigers decided to take this trip, on Divisional Sunday, which is when obviously nobody thought the Titans would still be playing. I frankly still can't believe it. I still cannot believe that the Titans are alive.
How much of the reason is you know?
Just I don't think any John of the reason. Wrong, I think the reason is that they changed quarterbacks. The reason is that running back they have. You know, I was talking to somebody about this last night. If the tight and you know, obviously, like they've gone so far in the playoffs now, where it's like I can't even say, like, I just look stupid, and I acknowledge that. And so now the conversation becomes if they continue to win, and if they win against the Chiefs, number one, it will have meant that their path to the Super Bowl was by far, I mean, and you can probably look this up, by far the hardest road to a Super Bowl for a team ever.
That's a great point.
I mean, they had to go through Tom Brady in Foxborough. They had to go through Lamar Jackson, the MVP, one of the most dynamic offenses in the NFL, in Baltimore. And they would have had to go through Patrick Mahomes, who just threw four touchdowns in one quarter yesterday, in Arrowhead. It will be the most impressive run for a playoff team ever in the history of the NFL. That's the first thing. Second thing is, if they do advance past the Chiefs, and they could, like at this point, like how can you count them out against anybody? If they do that – then I think you're going to start to see the NFL trend back toward power running game. Mm-hmm. You know, I think
copycat because, league. To your
yeah,
point.
I mean it is, Jason. You know it. Like when Colin Kaepernick showed up, right? Everybody started doing the wildcat, and then after that, the run pass option. You know, so you're going to start seeing teams try to draft the next Derrick Henry, the next 6'3", 250-pound guy. When you know over the last 3, 4, 5 years. Running backs have we've seen their value go down. Like in some ways, they've never been less valuable. But here comes Derrick Henry, who has completely. Ryan Tannehill does. It's like the triple option. The quarterback doesn't even have to throw. Yep. And this is the NFL. So what I think is going to happen, it's going to be super fascinating. But the Titans getting as far as they've gone. First of all, they make me look like an idiot, and I can acknowledge that. Like this is crazy what they're doing, and I give them credit. But it will have ramifications on the NFL. I think for years to come, it really is a crazy run they're on.
How do NFL teams, and in this case, the fifth and sixth best rushing defense, right? And when you got one guy that you got to stop, why is it not happening, John? You know what I mean? Like Tannehill's threw it. He's thrown the ball 29 times in two games. That's combined. I think Jackson threw it 59 times just yesterday. You know, Tannehill's not even having to open it up and throw. Is it just the threat of him? The threat of him and having A.J. Brown, like, what's made it so successful? Or is it just guys saying, I don't want to tackle this big dude at 6'3", 235, 245, whatever the heck he is?
Well, I think it's a combination of, obviously, like, they've built for the last 3 to 4 years. Like, this is the team that they've tried to build, which is a physical, you know, ground attack and drafting offensive linemen, making deals, and a combination of that with the fact that Derrick Henry just wears you down. Like, he is coming at you every single time. And, like, those 3 and 4 yard stops that you can maybe get on him at the beginning of the game in the first and the second quarter, like, they add up, right? Like, they're cumulative. And so by the time, you know, you're getting into the third and fourth quarter, like, as a defense, if you've had to be on the – like, because what the Titans are not going to do, they're not going to turn the ball over, right? Like, they're just not going to make mistakes on either side of the ball. So – Derrick Henry is going to be coming at you more than likely all game long. And so when that happens 15, 20, 25 times or more, there's no question that it just wears the defense down if you can't get the Titans off the field. So, yeah, like I think you saw with Earl Thomas there at the end of the game, like Derrick Henry's just tossed into the side like he doesn't exist, like he's a rag doll. And I think that's why, like, teams don't – I mean, I know it sounds silly, but teams do not want to tackle Derrick Henry in the third and fourth quarter of games. And I think that's why – you know, that's why you've seen the Titans be able to do what they're doing.
All that said, and look, I love the way the Titans, more or less, I just love being right. I've been telling you that they were a team that had a shot at the playoffs and them being where they are. All that said, though, doesn't it still feel like it's the Chiefs Super Bowl? Like, even, you know, especially even if looking at the NFC side and the way that's sort of played out on that side, doesn't it feel like it's theirs? Because, again, the difference with the Ravens and Chiefs, I feel like if you're the Titans, is even if you get them down early, you don't feel like they'll get out of their, you know what I mean, get out of what they're used to doing like the Ravens did. The Chiefs showed you if they get down early, 24-0 in this case, Mahomes will come right back and score 51 on you. So how do you sort of weigh that? And then what do you think of the Titans' chances? It feels like it's KC's year to win it, man.
Well, like we just talked about, like, I mean, for a team to go into Gillette, for a team to go into Baltimore's, stadium, for a team to go into Arrowhead, and win every time, like, that just – I don't know if a run like that has ever happened. I mean, it certainly is going to be among the greatest ever if it does happen. But, like, to be honest with you, like, I would say, yeah, you know, Patrick Mahomes, like, this is probably where the run is over. But, see, I thought that against Baltimore, you know.
Well, I know you did.
And if they can get – now, Tom Brady, like Tom Brady, you could say, all right, well, that offense was just, you know,
sure
that offense was anemic.
Right.
It wasn't good. So you could say that about New England, right? Like, you can spin that one I tried. But what can you say about Baltimore? I mean, they have one of the greatest rushing offenses all year long. They got the presumptive MVP, you know, at quarterback. And they basically – I mean, they score a garbage touchdown late. I mean, they completely, take them out of their game.
Yeah.
You know, so we're going to act like we've never seen a Kansas City team under Andy Reid, you know, come up short in the playoffs. Hell, they did it, you know, 3, 4 years ago to the Titans in Arrowhead. So the Titans, you know, if any team is equipped to do it, honestly, I feel like it's this one. And that's crazy. It's blasphemy coming from me. I'm going to need to take a shower as soon as this radio hit is finished. But I also have to be honest. But what this team has done the last 2-3 weeks of the season has been nothing short of remarkable.
Yep, talking to my co-host John Martin. Look at him. Here's me trying to get him to count out the Titans. And right as they get set to play KC in the AFC title game, and John Martin won't do it. So they've made a believer out of you, is what it sounds like to me, brother.
Trying to lighten up these calls at one is what it sounds like. They've made a believer.
No, I mean, I hope people let me have it, but they're playing their best football right now in the playoffs, you know, and again, like. The Chiefs are favored. I know that line dropped like a rock as soon as it came out. It started at 9.5. I'm not sure what it is right now. I know it had gotten down to 8 last I saw. But like this is a playoff team that is playing its best football right now, and they're doing exactly what they want to do on both sides of the ball. You know, as long as they can establish that run game, like obviously the Titans, you know, if you can get up 2 touchdowns on them, which certainly the Chiefs are capable of doing.
Oh yes.
You won the game, right? Like the Titans are not a team that's built to play from behind, but what they're so good at doing is not making mistakes that put them in a position to be down 2 scores.
Yeah.
So as long as they're not any kind of like special teams blunders or, you know, Tannehill doesn't botch a snap or anything like that, like I just, you know, I'm not going to necessarily say the Titans are going to win, but, you know, it's going to be a competitive game, and I bet they're in it at the end.
That line's at 7.5.
Yeah, so it's dropped 2 points since it came out.
Let's talk about the thing that you were in Tampa to do. How did you think, and I guess how late did it get before it changed? Did you think you were covering a Tigers loss yesterday with James Wiseman obviously out? We know that's you'd scheduled that flight, obviously, right, that trip. I think that's why Dick Vitale was on the game, right?
They had to honor him. They had to honor him to, like, make it worthwhile.
Huh?
They're like, hey,
yeah.
DDV's here. Come get a ball.
Well, we knew that's why you were there. We all thought that, you know, initially this was going to be James Wiseman's return game. It was not that. But Memphis is yet able to come out with the victory. What did you think? The turnovers continue to be an issue. At least you get the win.
Well, like I thought I was 100% going to have to, you know, I was in the midst of a loss.
It felt like
a bad loss.
First,
yeah, cause,
yeah.
Dude, when they got that, I think it was the 18th turnover or the 19th turnover, USF comes down the court and Collins dunks it. Like, I'll be honest, I was shocked by how loud that place got. Now, maybe they pumped some crowd noise in, I don't know, but it got really loud in there. And it was actually a decent crowd for a Sunday afternoon game in the divisional playoff. Like, honestly, I was kind of surprised by it.
I was too.
8-18.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Yeah, like, it was just kind of random how many people were there, but I guess maybe Memphis still is a draw. I thought that game was 100% over at that point. Everybody on the floor was frustrated. They could not hold on to the ball. They weren't running an offense. Everybody involved looked frustrated. Guys were gambling on defense. I mean, what we talked about is, like, the hallmark of this Memphis team so far has been what they're able to do defensively, and they were coming apart a little bit at the seams defensively at that juncture as well. But, you know, what's amazing is that over that last 13-15, after that dunk and after that next media timeout, like, everything changed. Like, honestly,
yeah.
Penny stopped shuffling, right? Like, he stopped shuffling the lineup,
mm-hmm.
and he just stuck with a five that I think by now we know probably should be the starting five going forward, even with the new one on Sunday, which is Alex Lomax, Tyler Harris, Lester Quinones, DJ Jeffries, and Precious Achiuwa. That's just the best lineup. And honestly, like, I didn't think Penny was going to bench Boogie. And this is going to be something that I feel like Bears monitoring over the next month of the season or 2 months of the season, because he is absolutely like he's not giving you anything right now, and I don't think a move to the bench is going to change that or help that.
Right.
But since you've made the choice to bench Boogie, then you might as well just put Tyler in there next to Lomax. Because, yes, it's a small lineup, but there's just no question about it. I mean, we know what Alo brings. Tyler Harris has really, fortunately, emerged as, like, the third scorer on this team, maybe even second
nights. Yeah, second some nights. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, DJ is going to come back around.
So.
You know, Lester made some big plays for you yesterday, and Preston Chu is just dominating everybody right now. You know, that's your best lineup. You know, I don't think you should be overthinking it. Malcolm looked, you know, he looked good. He started the game hot at 4 points in the first, you know, 3 or 4 minutes of the game. And I think that's okay because he's showing you he can give you something, right? But I just think the best five for them going forward in the lineup that's got to play the most minutes for them to have a chance at this AAC championship is the one we just talked about.
No, I like the lineup you call the best lineup. I don't mind Dandridge starting if you're trying to get him up to speed so that by the time you're at the end of the season, you know, you're kind of got him at least where he can be as a freshman, you know what I mean? But if it's not getting you into holes to that point, that's why you shook up the starting lineup in the first place. That said, you quickly get to, and I'm with you, that DJ Jeffries, when he's at the four, that's your best lineup. Preston Chua and sort of what you've seen from him, dude, when they're just doing the pick and rolls and the slips to the basket, whether it's Quinones, whether it was Harris, whether it was Alex Lomax, that is their best offense. No,
it really is, man.
For as much as they've struggled, John, they shot 54% yesterday, and I get the question was if they can just curb these turnovers, right? There's an efficient offense, it feels like, to be had underneath all that ugliness.
I mean, to me, that is something that was so obvious that emerged from this game. Like, this is a good offense. It's held back by decision-making, but it's a good offense. And if they could just sort of stop the bleeding with the turnovers and just, you know, like you said, like make it 10, 12, hell, 14.
Right.
You know, you would win most of the games remaining on your schedule, you know, and it really wouldn't even be a question. And you're right, like, there were two slips to the basket late in the game from Precious that really decided it. Like, USF was late on a couple rotations, and Precious is just so fast and so quick that he just took complete advantage, and I think he had two straight baskets that looked exactly like that. And it was the difference in the game there late. So, I mean, it really is incredible the way that Precious has, he's carrying this team. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. And listen, like, he's a good enough player to carry Memphis to an AAC regular season title. Like, if they just play through Precious and continue to do what they're doing, like, he's going to give you 20-10. He's a better player than, you know, look, most bigs in the country, you know, with what he's able to do. So Memphis has a real weapon in Precious, and as long as they can just keep getting the ball to him as opposed to giving it to the other team, there's, again, no reason to think Memphis can't compete for the AAC championship. But, you know, you're not going to win many games. I mean, it's amazing that they're 2-0 when they commit 20 turnovers or more. That's kind of ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, USF, dude. I mean, I don't think I've seen a collapse like that in person in a long time.
That's been their problem, is closing out games. What did Penny say when you asked him about sort of lowering, getting the turnovers down? Like, is there a reason why this is happening? Is it just, you know, because when they were going against bad teams, like Jackson State, you tell yourself, oh, you're just trying to do too much against a bad team. They're not focused enough. But when it's been a problem over and over, is there an answer? Is there a solution that he's told you?
Well, I mean, when I asked him about that yesterday, he just basically said that, you know, we're dribbling too much. You know, he said we've got to get rid of it earlier. You know, he said, I think the other thing that he said that was interesting was that, you know, guys keep trying to isolate. Guys keep trying to go, you know, one-on-one. And this is college basketball. This ain't the NBA. You know, everybody plays help defense in college. So we have to stop doing that. You know, we have to make the right play. We have to pass the ball. We cannot over-dribble. So it obviously sounds like, you know, and that's a very, you know, I think, you know, astute way of putting it. Like, obviously Penny, like, knows what he's talking about, and he's coaching this stuff. So obviously, like, he is coaching this and implementing this and preaching this, but for whatever reason, you know, it has not resonated.
What if I threw this at you? I think it's a combination of that and him, right, still playing so many guys in the rotation.
No doubt.
Right?
Because
you mentioned it. When it tightened up there at the end and he stuck with guys, it cleaned up, right? I think that's a part of it maybe that he hadn't touched on yet, but I just wonder if you thought the same, that the playing, all the, you know, you're still seeing Jaden Hardaway get in and out of games. And there was a moment yesterday, the side note, where I thought he looked pretty solid, but to that point, he's still playing so many guys, John, it feels like that's leading to more turnovers too.
Well, so check this out. So, you know, a couple things happened after that dunk at 13-15. Mm-hmm. So Memphis at that point had 18 or 19 turnovers. They finished after that 13-15 minute mark. They finished with 22.
That's right. Just
22. So they stopped turning the ball over.
There it is.
And
there it is.
That also coincided with I think for the most part, he might have taken Precious out for like 1 minute to get him a breather, and Lance was in there and was not good at all. I think he airballed a three and committed a foul. But outside of that, it was that five that we talked about. It was A-Lo, Tyler, Lester, DJ, Precious. They stopped turning the ball over. They got points. Like, that's
guys
this
know
team.
Those guys know the roles. That's where the big trust is, you know what I mean, with those guys that are used to being out there.
So yeah, I mean, I think it is. I think, you know, listen, when they watch this film, like, it's going to be painfully obvious to everybody. Like, I mean, what has to happen moving forward? Like, the rotation's got to be shortened. Like, it happens pretty much in college basketball everywhere, right? Like, you start a season with an 8-9, maybe 10-man rotation, but when you start getting into conference play, you know, that gets shortened 7 or 8. You know, I mean, I think for this team to really be successful and be able to maximize what it has, that's part of it. And it's kind of and that's not easy, right, Jason? I mean, you know it as well as I do. Like, this is the number one recruiting class in the country. Guys have individual expectations of playing time. You know, there's some other stuff at play as well. But I mean, I think the evidence is kind of smacking you in the face at this point.
You think Precious can play his way in the top 10 of the draft?
I mean, is he not?
He's been the most, one of, if not the most, one of the most consistent things in college basketball. And I just think for a guy that, as you point out, looks like the hand right now, I mean, he's the favorite to win the AAC Player of the Year. And I would think he would get on some national lists. We've seen him on the, so that wooden midseason, which is a 25-player list. But don't you think, I mean, he's done nothing but improved it. And if he's still at 13 or 12, which is kind of what I saw last from Gavoni, it feels like it should be going up rather than any kind of, you know, any kind of sinkage or falling out of the lottery, right? Based on what we've seen?
No doubt. I mean, because
he's doing everything, like, John.
I mean, there was a play late in the game. I want to say it was Collins. Collins got an ISO on Precious at the top of the key. And he was trying to break him down. He was trying to get past him. He was trying to, you know, cross him over. But Precious didn't bite on any of the hesitation dribbles, didn't overcommit.
Uh-huh.
And I think Collins drove to the basket. Precious was right behind him, ended up getting the block.
Yep. Vital was raving about it. I know exactly the moment you're talking about. He's raving about the length and the block, the ability, the athleticism to do that.
That's an NBA big man right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Sure enough.
I mean, especially in this new age NBA, right? Like, where fives are guards out there at the top, you know. So there's no question in my mind. Like, I mean, plus, like, he's not a 3-point shooter, but he actually is shooting like 50% from the field when on threes. Like, he's not a bad shooter. That's not his game. That's not what they do. But there's no question that there's some potential, I think, to be tapped into there. So yeah, I mean, if I'm picking in the top 10. Yeah, Precious is getting a long look at me, and I'm actually feeling pretty good, depending on what my team needs are. But I'm feeling pretty good about drafting him because he's versatile enough offensively. You can put him in a bunch of different spots. He's so active on the glass, and rebounding is always a skill that translates. And he's so, he's so gifted defensively with his length and, you know, with his athleticism. So there's no doubt, man. I mean, he has everything you're looking for on an NBA team.
Having watched what you have as closely as you have on Sunday and being down there, do you still, you know, in your gut, in terms of your feeling and watching this team next seven, you still feel pretty good about it? That, you know, you run off seven in a row here after this win over South Florida, make it eight in a row going into the road game at Cincy? Is it just, hey, with this young team, you know, it's a coin flip every night. They could be in a hole, could be a close game, particularly on the road. Like, how are you feeling sort of about these next seven after what you saw on Sunday?
Well, I mean, look, there's no way they're going to turn the ball over 22 times again. And you look at the next seven, like you mentioned. I mean, they're going to be favored in each of those games.
Yep.
I mean, and listen, they could have easily lost yesterday, but I do feel like sort of with the lineup change, I think the way that Penny closed the game yesterday. I mean, that was a lineup yesterday that only played a combined 17 offensive possessions.
I saw that
together.
In your story. I found that fascinating.
That is going to change. I mean, that has to change. So I think as long as those five, Jason, are the ones getting the majority in the book, the minutes, they could easily be sitting here, you know, in February at 20-3. You know, I mean, I just think it's, you know, Cincinnati is not they're playing a little bit better, but, you know, they're not the force of nature that they have been in seasons past. You know, UCF lost everything from last year. They're coming up on the schedule. Who knows, really, on Temple. You got Tulsa on the road. I mean, why can't you win against Tulsa? So, yeah, I mean, I what's fortunate for this team is the harder games, you know, your two against Houston and your rematch with Wichita State, that's not until the end of the season. So, really, you have the next seven games or eight games or so to, you know, really, I think, focus in on this lineup that I think at this point is proven to you that it's the best and is. As long as that happens, yeah. I mean, I think Memphis is certainly on pace to sit here in, you know, a month at 20-3.
It feels like, and I ask you this one, let you go, man. I don't want to work you too hard on your get back day, but it feels like to me, John, the margin for error for Memphis sort of like back when they were in the CUSA days, at least for this 1 year, is getting even smaller, because I don't know if you saw it, but over the weekend, it was a bad weekend for the conference overall. Like a 12-2 SMU team goes and loses at East Carolina, which is at 237 in KenPom. You know, you're hoping SMU could put some stuff together, help you on strength of schedule and in terms of your strength of your conference. 9-5 Temple, which is trying to look for some loses at home to Tulane. And the one that I think that was probably a shocker, if you're looking at it, is that Houston team that you thought would break away with Memphis and Wichita State from the rest of the pack. They lose at Tulsa on Saturday. Like, and Tulsa's 113 at KenPom. So, man, it was not a good weekend for the AAC that I think would have been even worse, John, had Memphis gone down there to South Florida and loses. You know, you're looking for some teams to break away, and it just feels like, you know, even a Wichita State that barely got by UConn. I don't know if you saw that one in double OT.
Yep.
But this conference, to get to the point, just down, man. Not, you know, even the teams that we thought would break away, like a Houston, capable of losing at a Tulsa like they did on Saturday. It just feels like maybe even a two-bid lead, John. I know we've been saying three, but this thing, there's just not much more. You cannot afford to go to a South Florida and lose this year. You just can't do it.
No, you're exactly right. Yep. I mean, that would have, you know, had they lost yesterday, it would have very seriously called their at-large tournament hopes into question.
You're right.
And maybe they'd have been on the wrong side, right? Like, they have one quad one win right now. I believe Tennessee is still holding strong there as a quad one win. I think NC State is out of the quad one as we speak. Maybe they can play their way back in. Who knows? But that's not really a
conference
tournament
is not
resume.
Helping you. Man, the conference is not helping you.
Like, had you lost to an 8-8 South Florida team, you know, even if it was on the road, it would have just obliterated your resume. I mean, it would have been a bad loss. Georgia stinks. They got blasted by Auburn.
They did.
You know,
saying stinks, and I keep fighting it, but they did not look good against
Auburn.
Well,
they're not. Okay, fine. If we disagree on, like, they're not going to, like, there's never a point
like a
this
team.
Season. Yeah, like, you're never going to feel good about that loss.
No, you will not.
You know, and it's not going to be one. Well, you know, they lost to Georgia. You know, that's going to probably end up looking like a bad loss. It is a bad loss. So you can't. You know, you have one quad one win. You'd have had two, you know, bad losses in this scenario. I think for the rest of the way, you'd have to pick up wins at Houston. You'd obviously have to beat Wichita State when they come here. You'd have to probably sweep Cincinnati to kind of get any kind of at-large respect again. And that's a lot. That's a lot to ask of a young team, you know. So I think what you do there is, you know, you're still in the top 25 today. You only drop one spot. You got some help there in the back end of the top 25, right? This way, you know, your resume still intact somewhat. You only got the one bad loss against Georgia at this point. You know, you can work with that. You can work with that. And listen, you're hoping that Wichita State, you know, they continue to do what they're doing, so that when they do come back to the Forum, that's an opportunity for you to get a quadrant one win. So, you know, it's exactly right. You're right. The margin for error is small. It does feel like Conference USA, like a you know, Conference USA 2.0 kind of a little bit. But thankfully, they avoided disaster yesterday. And if they win their next seven, you know, we'll start to, I think, feel good about them again.
How about those Grizzlies? Five in a row, John. Rolling, baby.
It really has been. I mean, it's
pretty
just
phenomenal. Just real talk. Like, forget playoff talk. Like, they're so far ahead of schedule. You got me comparing Ja Morant to Derrick Rose's rookie year, Chris Paul's rookie year. Like, the numbers him and Jaren are putting up, like, it's young superstar type numbers. We went through them in the first hour. It's crazy.
Not special.
Fun to watch.
This is hopefully, you know, a core that is going to stay intact for, you know, 10 years. I think that's the most exciting part about it.
We're just hoping you get back safely, John. So we can.
I appreciate
tell you
it, man. I'm going to watch The Lion King on the way home. I had started it on the way down here, and I got to the very emotional part, obviously, when they take Mufasa out.
And what does a wildebeest run him over?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you watched the movie, right? I mean, would you turn it off at that point?
No. That part is, we were talking about that last week, is what killed him. But they didn't do it on purpose, right? It was just, that was more
Scar. Scar really killed him.
Yeah. It
was his brother.
I wouldn't be able to talk about this with you if I did not have a five-year-old son. The question is, but I guess it's that the original was when you were a kid. That's why.
Yeah, that's why 1994.
Hey, I got to let you go. But did you see the Rocks hype video for LSU? I bet you loved that.
I can only imagine how much love and adoration you gave it. You must have been overwhelmed with emotion.
Oh, no, I hated on that thing. Yeah, safe,
he hated on it,
safe
John.
Flight back. Yeah, well, we found it.
Why are you hating on everything? You know, I got some more Rock news for you. Maybe you saw the news this weekend. There's a Young Rock sitcom coming to NBC. He's going to star in it. He says it's going to be like Forrest Gump. What you got to say about that, hater?
What has he done with Ballers?
The Ballers is over.
Done.
Yeah, it's over. They had a great run, five seasons.
Was it five? I really thought it was about four.
It was about five.
Yeah, he couldn't save it, could he?
He did. He's the only reason that show ever existed.
Denzel's son was the only reason he made it.
He saved the Fast and Furious franchise, and now he started a spinoff franchise thanks to his resurrection of that film. Obviously, Ballers, great five-year run as a 30-minute show. You know, one of the highest-rated 30-minute shows in the history of the entire network. He's got a great hype video about Rock Bottom. You've certainly been at Rock Bottom when you were at Imperial Security. And he's got this new NBC sitcom coming that I can't wait to watch.
You sound like Clay Travis talking about the Tennessee Vols. Top 10 program. It's unmitted. You say it like that when you talk about
the
Rock.
What was your issue with the hype video, Jason?
Nah, again, I just thought, well, you're doing that for Miami. But we were quickly told that, you know, this was for Ed when Ed was down in Miami and the relationships there. So Brad thought that The Rock got paid for this. And I kind of was with him for a minute because Rock do anything for a dollar, as you know. But we figured it was for the free and for old friend.
I got excited by it.
I think he got paid.
It's a good video.
Oh, you do think he got paid?
Yeah, I mean,
that dollar.
That was a long video.
It absolutely was like a movie. John, we appreciate you. Get back safe from Tampa so you can come in here and work with me tomorrow, okay?
You got it, man. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Appreciate your coverage. Memphis' 68-64 win over South Florida on Sunday down in Tampa. John Martin making his way back from beautiful Tampa as we speak. We're due for a break. At 1:25, we will talk to ESPN National Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.